All right, take your Bibles and we'll go to the Gospel of John. We'll start in 17. We'll be spending quite a bit of time in the Gospel of John. Then we will leave it and come back to it. We'll start in John 17. This is entitled, The Truth Matters. So, John 17, we're going to pick it up in verse 9. John 17, 9, we read, I pray for them, but I don't pray for the world. Pause, effect. This is Jesus. But for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And he's talking here about the apostles. I pray for my apostles. I pray for those people who are spending time with me. But I don't pray for the world. But for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, because they belong to God. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world. But these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thy own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. I guess if Jesus Christ is God, all the apostles are God too then, because we're all one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition. And right, we know that that's Judas, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them. And the world has hated them because they have the word of God, because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Are we of the world? No. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world. Darn, wouldn't it be great if you just got born again and boom, you're out of here? Immediately? Nah, that'd be great, but unfortunately that's not how it is. I'm glad because if you leave somebody around, they can talk to others. And somebody eventually talked to us. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world. Instead, but thou should keep them, guard them, protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So, sanctify them or set them apart through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And thou hast sent me into the world. Even so have I also sent them into the world. They have a mission. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified. How? Through the truth. Knowing the truth set you apart from the world, and we're not part of the world. Thy word, this word that we're holding in our hands, is truth. This is truth. I went to college for 4 years looking for truth. I was on the five-year plan, the four-year plan. Looking for truth. And then it was a couple years later when somebody said, you ever read the Bible? It's true. No. Yeah. This is truth. You're holding truth. We know the truth, and we're set apart from the world because we are of the truth. No wonder the things of the world just don't interest us. All the blitz and the glam and the fame and all the whatevers. It does us no good. You can't take any of it with you. Ask the Pharaohs. In the next chapter, look at John 18. You're holding truth. Truth. John 18, 33. Jesus is taken. He's in captivity. And Pilate enters into the judgment hall. So you can see the movie. You know, here he comes walking in. Jesus is all held captive. Here's Pilate walking in. And he looks at Jesus and says, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered and said, sayest thou thing of thyself? Or do others tell it of thee? Is that what people are saying about me? Or did you figure it out yourself? Pilate said, am I a Jew? I don't know what you're doing. I don't know, you know. You're not my king. You know, Caesar's my king. I'm not a Jew. I have no idea what's going on. But you know what? Your own people, your own nation, and the chief of people, the chief rulers of your nation, who are of the world, have delivered thee unto me. What have you done that you're sitting here in jail in front of me? And Jesus said, you know, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then heads would roll. Then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. And Pilate looked at him like, what in the world is going on here? I've never had a prisoner talk to me like this. Are you a king then? And Jesus said, well, thou says I'm a king. But to this end I was born, for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. He is going to bear witness of the truth. And everyone that is of the truth is going to hear my voice. When you hear the voice of reason, scriptural reason, you kind of perked up. You kind of wanted to hear more. Something about that just felt right. You wanted to know more. And that's what he is saying. Everyone that's of my truth hears my voice. And Pilate gave the great academician answer. What is truth? Oh, Jesus, this is ruining my Saturday, my Wednesday. Actually, it's Tuesday at the moment. Tuesday night. And basically, he's going, come on, what is truth? There's a whole scholarly group of people in that time frame called the academians, and that was what they were searching for, was truth. And some people believe that Pilate was a member of that group because he makes that statement. But I just think it's just a great statement, like, come on, what's truth? I've been around this world for a long time. They've given me this godforsaken Judea to be the governor over, to rule. It's terrible, and I have to be here. And you're telling me you got the truth? Give me a break. I want to go back to Rome. I want to go back, you know, I want Gaul or someplace, or Brittany or someplace that I, you know, much better than Judea to rule over. And that's the answer that most of the world has. Go to John 14. I'll make it easy on everybody. What is truth? We just read that the word is truth. How about John 14:6? I think the word interprets itself right where it's written. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Have a good day. Okay, there it is. I am the truth. If you don't have Jesus Christ, you do not have the truth. The word of God that we hold is truth. And what's the subject of the whole entire word of God from Genesis 3:15 to Revelation 22:21? Politics. No, Jesus Christ. I am the truth. That's pretty easy. That sets it out very, very well. For people like Pilate and all the people who are of the world, what do you mean? We can't find truth. We're not talking facts. Lots of facts. But truth is what we're dealing with here. Look at John 1. I told you we'd bounce around John a little bit. John 1 and verse 14, we read, and the Word, John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and factual information that he could be wonderful in trivia pursuit. Nope. Full of grace and truth. And John bore witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. In God's foreknowledge. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Because he is the truth. He brought himself, which is truth. Oh, we have to leave John. We'll be back. Go to 1 Corinthians 2, though. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that Moses was a liar and there wasn't truth back there, but it's truth upon truth. The truth. 1 Corinthians 2. Let's look at the world for a moment. It's not very pleasant. 1 Corinthians 2. And we pick it up in verse 12. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. Well, that's a good thing because the spirit doesn't know Christ. So would we want the spirit of the world? No, we didn't receive the spirit of the world. But instead we received the spirit which is of God. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. God has freely given to us many things. We can know them. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but the words which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, because the natural man, the people of the world, they're idiots because they don't know Christ. They have no truth. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. They're understood only by the Spirit. And if you don't have the Spirit, how can you understand it? You can't. It's that simple. The Word of God is very simple. You don't have the Spirit, you don't have Christ, you don't have the truth. So how can you understand spiritual things? I've had some conversations with people about spiritual matters before, and they just can't get it. You just can't understand. It's so simple. But why can't they get it? The blindness of being part of the world. They don't understand spiritual matters. All you do then, when you realize it, and I've wasted many time until I realized it and went, they're not born again. That's why they don't get it. They can't understand simple spiritual matters because they're of the world. They just flat out can't. So you feel sorry for them and then smack them. No, I can't do that. You'd like to, but you can't. You just feel sorry because they don't understand. They don't get the truth. They don't know who Christ is, what he accomplished, the benefits of the Spirit and walking by the Spirit. So what do you do? They have a problem. Look at 1 Corinthians 1. Many, you know, part of the problem, though, is they think they're wise. But without the Spirit or without the truth, without God's Word, how wise are you? 1 Corinthians 1, 18. We read, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." Talking about, I just think of Bill Maher, I'm sorry. He just foolishness. He's just a foolish person. Because he can't understand things. The preaching of the cross is foolishness. So they act that way. And I can't blame them. Because without Christ, they have no other way to act. This part here lays it out. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But to us, which are saved, it's the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise." Goodbye, Harvard. Goodbye, Yale. Goodbye, Berkeley. "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Well, where is the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Absolutely. "And after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God then by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It pleased God for those of us who listened, once we heard the word, to save us. Not because we were worldly smart, because we're foolishness." Which is just great. That's how much God loves us. "For the Jews, they require a sign. And the Greeks, we gotta be able to think this thing through. We want the wisdom that fits with Plato and Aristotle and all the other great Greek philosophers. But the Jews, come on, show me some power, show me something. Instead, you know what we do? We preach our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified, the one who died on behalf of all of us. That's who we preach. But to the Jews, that would be a stumbling block. Unto the Greeks, that's foolish. How could somebody who died, who was even crucified by Roman crucifixion, be the Savior, be the truth, be the wisdom? That's foolish, according to the Greeks. A stumbling block, because the Jews kept, you know, said, oh no, he couldn't have been the right one. He couldn't have been the Messiah. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, it's Christ, the power of God. It's Christ, the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." Back to John. So, it's interesting. John 8 is where we're going. The Greek word for truth is aletheia, and it basically means a revealed reality. A revealed reality. It's interesting that the root word is alantheon. When you put an A in front of a word, it means the opposite of. Lantheon means hid, hidden, or unawares. People have entertained angels unaware. Right? Hidden, unaware. And the opposite of that is what is truth. It's not hid. It's not hidden. We're not unaware because we hold the truth here. Because we can read the truth. We know Christ is the truth. It's that simple. The opposite of hid. We know it. The opposite of unaware. We're aware. John 8:25. I better get there. John 8:25 says, "Then say they unto him, Who are you?" They never could figure this guy out. The Greeks sure didn't like him. The Jews sure didn't like him. And Jesus said unto them, "Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. But I have many things to say and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true." So what is he telling us there? God is true. God is truth. Jesus Christ is truth. The word of God is truth. "He that sent me is true, not hidden, not unaware. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him." They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. They were a little dense. Huh? What are you talking about? "Then said Jesus unto them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. For as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always," not every now and then, like, you know, some children, "for I do always those things that please him." As he spake these words, many believed on him. They recognized the truth and the power that was behind it. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And since you're a disciple because you're continuing in the word, you're going to know the truth. And once you know the truth, it shall make you free." True freedom doesn't come the first time you hear, the first time you understand. It's the start, but you got to continue. You got to continue to learn the word. You got to continue to understand it and to live it. Because if you continue, you then are going to know the truth. You'll know the truth on different subjects. And once you know the truth on the different subjects, then you're free on that subject. 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 Because you know the truth. And the truth gives you the freedom, the liberty, the stand. Because you know, number one, who is truth? Lord Jesus Christ. You know where to find more about truth in the book. And then you can learn the truth on many things that we have to experience. Go to Galatians 3. But you have to continue. You have to abide in the truth. Let's look and see an example. Galatians 3. About people who didn't abide. And, you know, we're only going to talk about the Apostle Peter. He was a nobody. In other words, I don't care who you are, you need to continue, you need to abide, or it's easy to lose to lose the truth. Galatians 3:1. "Oh, foolish Galatians." And of course, Galatia is modern day Turkey. So you could read this, "Oh, foolish turkeys. Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth?" Look what it took for them to stop obeying the truth. Who has bewitched you? That's a pretty strong word. Who has tricked you? Who has taken you along the wrong path? "Oh, foolish person, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth and crucified among you?" Let's look at the context. Go back to 2:11. All right. So, they're having a great Gentile meal. The Jews, Peter, Paul, they're all having a great feast. And then some of James' legalistic people came from Jerusalem to see what was going on. Let's see what happens. Galatians 2:11. "But when Peter was come to Antioch, the word was moving like crazy amongst the Gentiles. And Paul saying, I had to withstand Peter face to face. I had to get on the phone and lay some sense. No, it was face to face. because Peter was wrong. This is the Apostle Peter. You don't get any higher up in the church than that to start with. And then Paul took the gamut and ran to the Gentiles with it. But Peter was wrong. And Paul said something to him face to face. For before that certain came from James, here it is, James, who became the legalistic head of the church in Jerusalem, wanting to put everybody back under the law, read Acts 21. He sent spies up to see what was going on in Antioch. And when they came, Peter was having a good time eating, you know, pork, bacon, lobster. He was having fun eating with the Gentiles. But when they, those from James, came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing. And there's a great key. That's what happens. We get afraid. Fearing them, which are of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with them. Even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, they weren't walking on the truth. Paul recognized it, and he had a choice. And when he realized it, I said to Peter, in front of everybody, if you, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compelst thou the Gentiles to live like a Jew? We who are Jews by nature, not sinners like these Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I was crucified with Christ, is the text. I was crucified with Christ. All of us were. We were all crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we can live, but yet not I, but Christ lives in me. We're new creation. We're Jesus Christ, men and women. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself out of love for me. If I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. You foolish people, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law? How many of you passed the test and got the Spirit? None of you. Didn't have to. Praise God. Did you have to work to get it? No. And that's what he's laying out. Folks, why receive you the Spirit by the works of the law? By the hearing of believing. Are you so stupid? Are you so foolish? Are you that ignorant? Having begun in the Spirit, you now are made perfect by the flesh. You're born again by hearing the words of pertaining to Jesus Christ. You receive the Spirit. You can live there. And now you're going to get better because you're under the law? Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain? He, therefore, that ministers the Spirit to you, does he, the one that works miracles among you, doeth he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So that lays it out. Here's Peter, and Peter got caught up in the politics of the day, and it started to take him out, and Paul says, oh, no, let's get you back, Peter. You are leading so many other people astray. That's not going to happen. Look at 1 Corinthians 13. So you got to abide. You got to continue. You got to learn the truth on different subjects and continue to live it by that. It's a day-by-day fight. 1 Corinthians 13:6 says, dealing with love, love, God's love, born within you, that you put on your renewed mind, you live it. It rejoices not in iniquity, but instead it rejoices in the truth. We have to rejoice in the truth, not rejoice in the things of the world. Rejoice in the truth. All right, look at Ephesians 4. We'll look at a couple quick verses here as we scan through the epistles. Ephesians 4:25. This is going to tell us what else we should do with the truth. We're supposed to rejoice in truth. Ephesians 4:25. Wherefore, put away lying. Instead, speak every man truth with his neighbor. So what are we supposed to do? Speak the truth with each other, because we're members one of another. We're supposed to be telling people, there's a verse in Ezekiel that says that we're supposed to sell the thing and give the money to... No. Put away lying concerning the things of the world, concerning the things that don't deal with the truth or aren't truth. Instead, speak truth with everyone. So we're to speak truth. Go to Philippians. Next, Philippians 4. Next book, Ephesians, Philippians 4, 8. Philippians 4, 8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true. Well, we know God's true. We know Jesus Christ is true. We know the Word of God is true. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest or honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's any praise, think or consider these things. So, we are to think or consider the truth. We are to put into our minds the truth. We're to think about God, His Word, and Jesus Christ. So, we're to speak the truth. We're to think the truth. Look at Colossians 1, next page. Colossians 1, 5. Why? What benefit is it of thinking the truth and then speaking the truth and rejoicing in the truth? Colossians 1, 5. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard, therefore, in the word of the truth of the gospel. You heard about the hope. You heard about it because it's part of the word of truth pertaining to the gospel, the good news of our day and time, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and the truth brings forth fruit, as it does also in you, since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. It's grace, and it's so much easier because it's grace, not works. It's the truth, and the truth brings fruit. You'll see it in your life. Now, you have an apple tree that you gathered apples on, right? And what you did was you went out there with a baseball bat, you beat on it and said, grow! I want more apples! All right, then you fasted and said, I won't eat anything for 24 hours until you start growing fruit. You didn't have to do anything. You know what happened? Apples showed up. That was after their kind. It produced fruit. The truth will do that. Speak the truth. Think the truth. Live the truth. Rejoice in the truth. And fruit will be there. 2 Timothy, a very fruitful verse that you're familiar with. Chapter 2. 2 Timothy 2:15. We read, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the world's material.
No.
Rightly dividing the word of truth. Study the truth, rightly divided, and then shame profane and vain babblings. All the stuff that the world wants to get you involved with, because you know what you're going to do? They'll increase into more ungodliness. You don't have time for ungodliness. And the word will eat like a canker, of whom these two guys were, who concerning the truth, they erred. They took people in the wrong direction when it came to the truth. You know what they were teaching? The resurrection was past already, and they overthrew the faith of some. And that's the bigger sin. You can believe anything you want. You can believe the cow jumped over the moon, and the moon's made out of green cheese, and there's big smiles up there. On the dark side of the moon is pyramids or whatever. You know, that's Pink Floyd. Anyway, you can believe anything you want to, but when you start teaching it, when you start rejoicing it and saying it's truth, no. And Paul had to lay it out. So we had to study the word, to continue to stand the truth, talk about it so that these guys who are trying to lead people wrong know the truth. 1 Timothy, go back to page 2. In case you'd forgotten, 1 Timothy 2:4. Talking about God. What is God's will in 1 Timothy 2:4? God wants everybody to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. You need to know the truth. And we're holding the truth in our hands. Salvation is great, but it's only part of it. He wants all to come to the knowledge of the truth. To know more Second Thessalonians, we're going backwards now. Go back a page. Second Thessalonians 2, verse 11. Second Thessalonians 2:11, we read, "For this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie." How would you like to be part of that? No, thank you. Well, there's the world. Strong delusion. They're believing lies. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth. You don't believe regarding the Lord Jesus Christ? You're going to be damned. It's the delusion. It's the lie. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, and they have pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Because we believe the truth, we're set apart by the Spirit, we've been given salvation, and we can enjoy this life because we don't believe the lie. Back to John is where we'll close. John 4, a couple sections in John. John 4, a great reminder when it comes to truth, because we can have true worship. John 4, 23. John 4, 23 says, "The hour is coming, but it's here, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, because the Father is seeking people to worship Him this way. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." Must worship Him that way. Truthfully, via the Spirit, it's available to worship God in truth, to be a true worshiper. And that, we know, is by speaking in tongues. And we close in John 16, because we can worship God perfectly, truthfully. And then when we do that, we know we're of salvation. We're not of the world. We close in John 16, 13. "Howbeit," it's the neuter tense, "howbeit when it," the Spirit of truth. John 16, 13. "Howbeit when it," the Spirit of truth, "has come, it's going to guide you into all truth. For it shall not speak of itself, but whatsoever it shall hear, that shall it speak, and it will show you things to come." The Spirit of truth, the gift of Holy Spirit, on holy men who wrote the seven church epistles is what it's referring to. And we today can read the truth that was given, the all truth, the seven church epistles, by the Spirit that we have, and understand it and live it and enjoy it and know He's coming back. And we don't have to be taken in by the aghastment of the world, but instead we have the truth. So Father, thank You that You've given us the truth. We know that You are true, Your Son is true, Your Word is true, and we're endeavoring to abide in it and live it each day, to learn more of it, to live more of it. And we're grateful, Father, that we have Your love within us to be able to speak it to others and to live it to the best of our abilities, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.